was when they came back and they have, you know, they washed them all completely. You know, the older woman washed her hair with the yucca plants, you know, some herbals, cleaned them all off with that. And they painted their face, you know, like that. And they painted them that they left their childhood behind like that, you know. The women have left, that child has left her, and she's ready for the women part now of her life, you know, like that. And they painted her, and they, you know, at that time they probably put a feather on her, to signify she's ready for being a woman now, you know, like that. And they put on new clothes on her, and they had a feast for her, and they did ceremony stuff from however each Indian, but the way, you know, they put in new clothes on, you know, washed off, and it's clean, you're ready for that new part of your life. See, they have these four divisions of life. Well, we do, you know, like that. There's four of everything, four directions, four of everything. You can say four colors and four divisions of life and the four seasons, you know. So there's four divisions of life. It's your babyhood up to, then your young, you know, your years, your teenage years, I guess you call it now. Mm-hmm. From there until you're up to that years, and then your middle age years, you know, like that, right in that years. Mm-hmm. Then your old age, and that's four divisions of life. So every time they pass this certain period of your life, they have you let go of that, and that was part of that. See, that's why Indians didn't have all these emotional and mental problems hanging on to them, that whatever happened in their childhood was affecting them up in their middle age years, you know, like they didn't need a psychologist, because at a certain point of their life, everything was taken and put away. Mm-hmm. And they put in new clothing, and they were washed off, and they'd go through ceremony, and come like from teenage years, and then when you entered the other part of your year, then you did the same thing. Four ceremonies here in our life, and that's the way it went.
The baby, the puberty,
uh-huh.
And then
middle age,
the middle age, the motherhood,
then the old age,
and then the old age. Mm-hmm. Did you go through those, Bertha?
I've gone through the three of them. I haven't gone through the old age yet.
Well, you're not old yet.
I'm not old yet. That's what I say, I'm not old yet. I wait till I get old. And, but they did an honoring on me, and they wanted to do it again this coming buried. And I said, wait a minute. Oh. Pick out somebody that's real old, you know, like that, my name. Some people that nobody ever thinks about, you know, there's old people sitting out there in the reservation. I named one, and he's old. Even if they don't get to that ceremony, you know, at least they know that they've been recognized, you know, been noticed, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather that you do that instead of me. I said, you know, me, I'll do it later on sometimes again, you know. And, you know, I'm already honored just being who I am and living. I said, you know, being able to move around, and the Creator has honored me being who I am. I said, you know, already. So,
that's good.
You know, I get to travel around, move around, to meet people like that. That's an honor, you know. To me, that's an honor, you know, like that.
Yes.
So, so yeah, that's the way it went. So some of these cultures that come from the overseas, you know, like European countries way back in the long time, days ago, you know, like that. That's like way back in King Arthur's days, what you're talking about, when the girl was powerful in her moon days, you know, that was in them Duards and in them days too. That's where that originated from, you know, and it's been passed down to culture. And some of these maybe Eastern tribes, I know they believe that way, you know. A lot of the Eastern tribes, they believe that, you know, that's what they say. I come across people that believe that they're all powerful beings, and, you know, I can tell when somebody's on the moon, because I've Sundanced for 22 years. This year's going to be my 22 years, and we're kind of like a Sundance family, you know. All my husband and my boys and my brother and that woman that walked in here, she's a Sundance person. We're Sundance people, traditional people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we do Sweat Lodges, Native American Church, and our other Indian ceremonies. You know, we're all into all this Indian way of life. You know. And what I do now is part of it, you know, it's my teaching. It's lot of people don't like it because I talk to people like you and I tell them these things, you know. But to me, I always tell people, you know, I don't look at people as different nationalities or different races or different tribes. I said, you know, we're all human beings on Mother Earth. And whatever knowledge we have, we should learn to share it with one another so that we could use it for the benefit of the mankind, you know. Like it says in that good book, I said, you know, you're like a cup, you know. And then all the knowledge comes down, you know, fills up and it flows over, you know, like that. Some people want to get, fill it up and just close it and that's it. And things in there get stale. You don't get no more in the wisdom, you don't get no more understanding. I said, you just closed off and that's all you know then. That's where people stop. Mm-hmm. They don't know that if you leave it open, you'll always have new understanding, new wisdom coming in. And if you let it flow over to other people, then and you'll get some more. There's no end to it.
That's right.
See? And that's why I'm, that's the way I believe. I said, that's the way I have my understanding. But anyway, you know, going back to the subject of nowadays, you know, we don't have that moon retreat, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have that anymore. But a lot of people, they live in the same home, but my grandchildren and my great grandchildren and this woman's children, her daughters, and they have that understanding, that teaching, and they won't come over here to my house when they're on their moon. They won't. And if they invite me for dinner and one of the girls are having their moon, she'll go to her room and she'll stay in there until I leave, you know, like that. Because they have that respect towards me being who I am, you know, like that. And that's the way we are, you know. We don't go around. The teachings of the young ones don't go that far. A lot of people don't understand that. This new generation don't understand that you don't be around ceremonial people like medicine people, you know, like medic healers, because that's the way I was raised. See, I was raised that way, that at least they had that understanding and they won't come over here when they're like that, you know, because they know that it's not supposed to be that way. You know, that they can hurt their own selves too. You can hurt your own person as a person, not maybe mostly physically or some way, you know, that it works that way too, you know. You don't do those things. And a lot of them drink pop. That's the changes that have come about, that drink pop. And, you know, a lot of people, I know a lot of them, but on my own family, I know they don't, you know. Because they have that teachings that they don't. My grandchildren, my granddaughters, and my great grandchildren aren't that age yet, you know. But they're my granddaughters. They all know they don't drink coal. They don't eat meat, and they, you know, they don't have like things like that. You know, even pregnant women aren't allowed. Or at the Sundance ceremonies, and also women that just had babies, and even men, their wives is pregnant, they don't dance. And if their wives have babies, they don't go over there either, you know, like that, because, you know, newborn babies like that, you know, the women don't go, but the men can, they smudge themselves and they can go, but the women can't go over there until after the second month or something like that. Newborn babies, they don't allow in there. They'll tell them to go move out. They'll actually tell them to go on out, because we don't allow a little newborn. Up to 4 months, you know, after 4 months, then everything's okay. So most of the time, the child can be taken where, you know, until they're 4 months. See, myself, I couldn't touch my grandson until he was 4 months old. For me, that's just me, you know, because being a healer or something like that, you know, being a sun dancer, it'd be too much for the newborn, you know. Like, but just once I touched that one one great granddaughter I have, but she was sick, you know, in the hospital, and she was, poor thing, had needles in her, and she's having pneumonia, you know, newborn too, and So I just put my tip of my finger on her, you know, on her foot like that, and her back like that, and her head, you know, told her, you'll be all right, you know. But I couldn't put my hand, I just put my tip up. Just barely touched her too like that, you know, like that.
Is she all right with
that? And she's all right now. Mm-hmm. And things like that. So it's a, you know, it's, see, our way of life is not like you do it on certain times of the year. You don't do it, say, mm-hmm. on Sundays you make your prayers or Sundays. See, the way we live is we live it every day. It's our way of life. This is our way of life. We all live like my brother up here. I live that way, and my son lives that way, and those are the traditional that live it. We live it day by day, you know, like that. And so we just not just like in the mornings we make a prayer before we eat. Sometimes we get out and we make a prayer for the sun, you know, like that. My son's coming up. For the spirit, with it, like make my prayer for the day, you know, like that. The grandfather's gonna take care of this day for me, and whatever is gonna happen today, who I'm gonna meet, where I'm going to go, or what's gonna be said, or what I'm gonna say, it's been taken care of. See, so that's the way we. And I'll leave it all day. It'll be that. And tonight I'll thank the Creator for the day, for the. Take care of me through the night, that I could be there again for the following day again. Go ahead.
Do you get up before the sun?
Uh-huh. Before the sun comes up. When the sun's coming up, that's when sometime before the sun comes up. Sometimes we wait for the sun to come up. When it peaks up over the, then we greet it, you know, with our prayers, you know, like that. Yeah, that's so now we were at that where that was taboo, no, for
yes.
to be in your moon age. Stuff like that,
yes.
And in their married life, it's gotten to where we still in our family we still do our ceremonies. We have an all night ceremony for wedding ceremonies, you know, things like that. And we have a naming ceremony too, you know. We have a Native American mm-hmm. church. We have our naming ceremony. We pick an elder to take care of that for the see like my. Yeah. His first year was a man from Oklahoma took care of his Native American church ceremony for him. But his name was already given to him, that White Wolf. But he gave him another name that was Blue Hawk. So he's got two in England, and one from Oklahoma and one from us. And a lot of them, and then some of my grandchildren have from different tribes, they come and be, you know, and take us for a relationship. That's what we do in the Indian ways, you know, like that. So they had these old people from Oto tribe. We used to have three old men that used to come way out this way. And some of these teachings that we have is from them too, you know. And my sons are part Pueblo, Santa Clara Pueblo, their grandfather's from there. And we have that teachings from the Pueblo. The hospitality part, you know, how to be treated. You know, how people, Pueblo people are really hospitable. They're real, like they have that teaching, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what he taught me when, see, my first husband is gone now, you know, like that. Was the father of my kids. And me and my husband now, we don't have our own kids. We had our own kids from our other marriages, you know, like that. First marriages, and that was it. So we raised our kids together. Our kids are all raised together, you know, like that. And on top of it, I raised my brother in Everett.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my brother.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And, yeah, I raised him. He wouldn't be what he is today, I think, if I hadn't raised him, you know. But he's one of the people, one of the persons who he is today, recognized like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People recognize
very
him.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. My son is like that, too, in another way, you know, like that. People come from long ways asking them for help from different tribes. But it's like, we're finally getting accepted little by little. The teeniest step into our own, a prophet is never welcome in his own country.
Mm-hmm.
It's really true. And that's the way it's always been, you know. I've had a hard time through the years, you know. My grandfather was like that too. And I understand why he was kind of isolated, you know, kind of, he didn't want to. was kind of, you know, I understand now why, you know, it's like that. Mm-hmm. Traveling the red road, it's a lonely road. I said, yeah, it's a good road, it's a wonderful road, but it's a lonely road because you don't have. But then it opens up the doors for, I have a lot of relations, like my children and my brother, we have a lot of relationship with other tribes that take us from, I have a lot of grandchildren, and a lot of children call me mom, call me grandma, you know, call me aunt or call me sister, you know, elder ones. And most of them older people are gone now, you know. Mm-hmm. So I, all across the country, even to Korea and down to Australia, around Germany,
oh,
you know, people that live like that, you know, they call me grandma, you know. Okay. Piles of letters I have to answer someday. They know I'm bad about writing letters, but they keep writing in it. So all different nationalities, you know, I can go in any direction in this country and find a place to stay. You know, that's one thing, you know, don't have to buy a motel, call ahead, I'm coming, mm-hmm. or something like that. You know?
Yes.
So it's been a good life for me, even if my own relation, you know, I was kind of outcast because I married into this ceremonial Native American church family in that 40s, in the 39 and 40, right in that area. My family outcast me from them.
Why? Well, your family? No.
Because they didn't believe in those things, but see, we were Sundance. I was raised as a Sundance people, and I married into this. And except for my uncle and my grandfather, they always came to see me, and, you know, and they never said anything. They always came to see me. So they lived a long time in London. And they always was good to me, too, those two, you know, like that. And finally, they gradually, you know, as time went on, they kind of began to talk to me. You know, you could walk by me and never say nothing, like I never existed, you know, in the streets, in the gatherings or something. They didn't even acknowledge that I was there. That's the way they treated me. But it was okay. It was supposed to be that way. But I made my own way of life through this, the way I do Native Americans, through this, my son dance, and we made a lot of people, and through the sweat lodge, you know, sending all kinds of people, different tribes and like that, and welcome wherever I go, you know, like that, and made a lot of relations. So I had my own family come in from the other end, you know, from the other outside, and I had a lot of people in. It's good, you know, and maybe it was supposed to be that way, you know.
Yes. Bertha, when you were with your grandparents,
uh-huh.
where were you raised? Were you
down here? My aunt lives there now. She's the only one left of my mother's sisters and brothers, you know. My aunt Chantine, Cloud Smith.
Ah.
She's my aunt. This is the youngest one of them. She's the only one left of the original. My aunt, she's the only, my real aunt, you know, from my mother's sister, you know, my mother's sister. That's where we were raised with our grandparents, you know, my aunt, my brothers and sisters and all of them. And that's where I grew up herding sheep, you know. He was the one that taught me a lot of things, you know. And he raised me, and I got married and took off from there. But when he got up in his age, old age, I took care of him. You know, he went until a week before he passed away. I took care of my grandfather. And in return for what he had done for me, I mm-hmm. took care of him too, you know, like that.
Yes.
You know, just took care of him in his old age then too.
Did you live in a teepee when you were?
Oh yeah, I grew up in the last teepee on this reservation. The last teepee that was left yet then. My grandmother and grandfather lived in there. My part was the south part, and then that part, the west part, and the back part was my grandfather's, and that's my grandmother's on the north side, where all the food was stored, you know, and we had the fire in the middle. We lived in there winter times too, and on my part, the wood part came in. I had to haul the wood in. I had to go up to the water. We lived like that, and I was expected never to play in there or never be in there, because it was like that was his room, and this was my hair room, and this was my room, and I stayed in my own room, you know, in my own part, you know.
Even though there were no walls.
There was no wall, but it was that's the way we lived. When we went in from this side, flat, open that flap this way, went in. Then when we came out, we went this other way, we opened that flap, because that's keep the traffic,
yes,
you know, bumping into each other. And that's the way, that's a rule, that was the way it was there.
Was it made of hide?
No, it was later years when we had that. It wasn't made out of canvas. She made it out of muslin or double, triple dose. Some of it was made out of, way down there they used to have them hides, but then later on we didn't have that. We couldn't go hunting anymore, so,
yeah,
you know. And that changed the lifestyle when we got pushed into the reservation. The whole lifestyle changed, you know. And she'd make it out of canvas, or she didn't make it out of canvas later. Years canvas came in, but she made it out of muslin. And imagine, there's one teepee we had, it was made out of the big 100-pound flour sacks, doubled.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But your grandmother made it.
She made it.
Oh.
It was made out of that, but it was doubled. But we had a lining inside too, you know, like that. We put the lining in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember that one place where I was, there was that rip on that. That's how come I remember it, you know, with just the rip on that, between the two material, you know, that double material.
Yes.
There's a rip there, and that's where I kept my goodies, you know.
Oh.
My grandfather used to bring me in there. Remember they had those, they call them oyster crackers now? Oyster crackers.
Oyster crackers, yes.
They had them in little boxes like that.
Yes.
And he used to, when he went to town, he brought me that, and I put it in there, and they brought, and there used to be an old man too, and he used to come around, and he was real good to me too. His name was Harry Richards. You heard, maybe you see a lot of his pictures.
Yes.
And his name grew up. He lived a long time. He was old too. Harry Richards. He used to come visit, you know, like that, to see my grandfather. He'd visit him. And he'd always bring me an apple or an orange or cook ginger snaps, you know,
uh-huh,
or them Cracker Jacks they used to.
Oh,
and
yes.
I kept all my goodies there hidden, you know.
In the red.
And I ate it whenever I got hungry or something like that. But I tried to keep it as long as I could, you know. It was far in between when they bring me something like,
yes,
that, you know. It's for like a treat for me, you know, when they bring me something.
Did you have special games that you played as a child, or?
Yeah, we had, you know, they have this, we used to have this round rock like that. My aunt still has that rock. And we'd put what we bedded under there, you know, be whatever, you know. They'd have those pennies, you know, like that, or beans, or
mm-hmm,
things like that. And then we had 10 sticks, you know, like that. And everybody, you know, they were marked, those sticks were marked. So then they'd throw it on their rock and they'd fall like that. You know, there's a game that they have it now in a,
yes,
you know, stick game, the little sticks. I've seen it in a box,
sticks,
and then they put,
yes,
it, and then you, whichever way they fell, then you count it, then you wrote it down in the, right there on the dirt, you know, you marked it, your mark, you know. And then, and the one that got the most
marks,
most of the, you counted those, up to, they were marked up to 10, you know, like that, you know. But they were, some were blank, you know. But they were painted one side, and they were marked with a, you know, they used a wire to mark it, you know,
uh-huh,
to brand it on. They wasn't marked with pencil ink or
just a hot wire.
Hot wire marked like that. So many marks, you know, two marks, or that way, you know, of course. Five, you know, like that.
That was your score.
Uh-huh, that was the score, and you added up those, you know. And the one that got most numbers of scores, you know, won the game, you know. Like
he got what was under the rock.
Yeah, and he got what was under the rock.
Oh, how neat. That's great.
And then we used to have this shoe game that we played, you know, boxing game, I guess, you know, you hide things, you know. It's like hand game, you know, where they hide things in it. You've seen hand game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was,
yes,
like that, but it was shoe game. You put it in the boxing game, you put it in the, put your them little deals that, one's plain and one's wrapped around, or, you know, around with a colored, you know, and then you, and the one that gets, if you, you know, which side of the boxing it's in, you know, well, if it was the blank one, you didn't, you won, you know, because you had hit it good, you know. Because if you misguess, you know, it's just like that, you know.
Yes.
We played games like that. But then in the wintertime, me and my brothers, we used to, my sister, we used to play that, go out in the middle of falling snow, you know, make the We learned this at school, them fox and geese.
Oh, yes.
Kick the
geese.
Can, kick the can, you know.
Yes.
And ring around roses and the whatever, jump or something, you know. All the old games we learned from school. Yeah, we did that, but then we had this kind of like hockey, you know, too. We used to play on the ice, you know. Not like hockey now, I guess what it's called. But I used to have that too. We had our own games, you know. But I grew up mostly like a tomboy. I could make arrows. My uncle man showed me how to make. He used to make arrows, beanies, you know, those beanies with the like that, and slingshot. I was good. I could even out hit things with the slingshot, you know. And that's how I learned to ride horses, which I became a jockey, you know, because more like a tomboy, you know. My grandfather needed somebody to help him chop wood, stack the hay, herd sheep. I did all the things that a boy's supposed to do, you know, but because he had nobody to help him, so so I learned both sides, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I learned the women and the men, boys' side, you know, like that. I was raised by my grandmother and then grandfather, you know. So I'm just kind of like two persons.
Yes.
A boy and a girl, you know, like that.
That's good.
That's the way, I guess it was supposed to be that way that I learned those things. So that's nowadays they go to the hospitals, go have their babies.
Yes.
See, nowadays they go to church or courthouse but some of them still have ceremonies of the way, of their own chosen, you know, how they want it, you know. By the river, you know, or in the park, and we still have our wedding meetings, you know, that we invite people to, and then they have a giveaway. People give them gifts, but then we always, Indians are good for giveaways, you know. At least my family always, you know, like that. Like we always be giving away. People come along, we just give them something, you know. Like that. I'm giving away my knowledge to you for what you brought me.
Yes.
See,
yes.
But if in return, you know, you always have to balance things up.
We're getting the best deal.
Yeah,
so
that's that's way I was taught. See, I've had a lot of knowledge passed to me from different tribe elders from different tribes that come to stay with us, you know, come by, visit you. They still do, you know, come by and talk, you know. Some, but most of the elders are gone now, but there used to be a lot of elders come by. They'd sit from morning till noon sometime, you know, we forget to wash dishes and we get to talking, you know, and then we'd sit there, you know, start washing dishes and make lunch for them. After lunch, that's the way they stayed about 2-3 days or maybe a week. Then they went back home and sometimes they stayed a month. They stayed a month, you could get a lot out of it. I mean, they told us what they wanted to tell. But the facts of life, that's what they said. There's no other way we can tell you these to take. That means that there's no two ways of telling them. When the old people went in and talked, this is the way it is. That's it. You can't, this is on the way one man used to say, this is the brass tacks. There's no other way I can tell you about life or the way of ceremonies, and this is the way it's supposed to be. And then they tell you the reasons why, you know. And there's no other way I can tell you. Can go around it, can go over it, can jump over it, can go under it. That's the way we learn.
Just
that's the way I learn a lot of the things, you know, like that. And through my dreams and visions, you know.
I
help a lot of people, but we're not supposed to advertise ourselves, you know. They tell us, people will recognize you for who you are and what you are, and that's it. That's good enough, you know, like that. But I've been doing a lot of traveling. I'm leaving Monday to talk at Northern University in New Mexico at Las Vegas.
Oh my gosh.
Gonna give a lecture on the medicine wheel down there.
Oh boy. I wish I could come.
So that one evening, then I'm going on to Albuquerque 23rd and meet with that Korean woman and some of the people that I went to Korea with. They want to meet me and they're going to have supper for me there. So, and give me an early birthday present, they said. So,
you're so busy. When is your birthday?
Huh?
When is your birthday?
Yeah, end of next month.
Oh.
But they know I'm going to be gone. See, on the 22nd, I'm flying over to Buffalo to the Seneca Nation. gathering of the elders. They invited me to go, so they're playing for plane fare and all everything.
Wow.
And then when we get through from there, then this couple's taking me on down to Pennsylvania again, my third trip down there into Pennsylvania to hold a woman's circle. What you're trying to find out, but that's what I do, they're talking about the woman, you know. Tell them that the reason why the women are important is because we're close to Mother Earth. We're the closest to Mother Earth because we bear life like Mother Earth bears life, to sustaining life, crops and everything that we, you know, and the grass that feeds the animals, you know, what we get our meat from, you know, and everything grows. And that we're like, the women is like that because we give birth to like that children.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer we are, we have that power to, like you were talking, we don't have to have your moon time. We're already like that, you know.
Right.
You don't have to work at it on your moon time, like I said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're already part of it there, part of the Mother Earth, you know. And that's where we all come from anyway, so you know that we give life like that, and the Mother Earth gives life, so we're combined together. You can, you know, make your prayers like that to Mother Earth.